After Jesus' resurrection, he had walked with two of his followers, remember, on the road to Emmaus, and they hadn't recognized him. And when they arrived in Emmaus, they invited him to stay and eat with them, and as he broke the bread, they recognized him, and he vanished. And the two got up immediately and went to Jerusalem, back where the disciples were. Jesus' 11 disciples and the other followers were gathered there together, and the group was exuberant because Jesus had appeared to Simon Peter, and they were talking and going, "The Lord has risen, the Lord has risen indeed." And then these two come and talk about how they saw Jesus on the road, and then when they were breaking bread, he had been made known to them. And it was while they were still talking, Luke tells us that Jesus appears in the midst of them right there and stood among them. And Luke says they were shocked and scared. See, they didn't really know what was happening. They thought maybe they were seeing a spirit because this body wasn't bound by the laws of matter. He appeared. He was from nowhere. Right there, among them. N.T. Wright writes about their reaction. The disciples knew all about ghosts and visions and hallucinations. The ancient world and its literature are full of stories about that kind of thing. It was natural for Jesus' followers to be stunned and shaken by all that had happened and to suppose that maybe I'm just seeing things, right? Maybe this is some sort of hallucination, some wishful thinking, maybe I'm just seeing things. And Jesus offers them two signs that he is not spirit only. "Go ahead," he says. "Go ahead, touch me. Touch me. Feel, I have a body. Go ahead. See my hands? See my feet? He's real. He's solid. He's not a ghost." And then, as they're satisfying themselves by touching him and patting him, he says, "By the way, I'm hungry. Got anything to eat?" And he sits down and he starts eating some fish. Ghosts don't do that. Jesus' risen body is nothing like anyone had ever imagined before. On the one hand, it can be touched and it can eat. And on the other hand, people don't recognize him. And he can come and go. This body belongs in two dimensions. In both dimensions of God's world. This body goes back and forth between heaven and earth. Nobody in the world could have made all this up. The stories that they had were about ghosts and visions, and this is quite unlike any of those stories. Jesus is a new creation. His body is like the old, but it's not the same. Jesus is resurrected, and he's not just a spirit. But it's not just a resuscitation of the body he had, either. It's new. And so he is the only, the first, resurrected body. Episcopal priest Michael Marsh says, "The resurrected life of Christ, it seems, is revealed in and through the created order. It is not, however, bound by the created order. Rather, the resurrected body and life of Christ unite what is visible and what is invisible, matter and spirit, humanity and divinity. On the one hand, Jesus had a real body, and on the other hand, it's not subject to the laws of space and matter. It's not one or the other, it's both. This is new. This is different. The resurrected Jesus shares with those who are gathered how the scriptures have been fulfilled in him. The Messiah, he says, is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. But that's not the end of things. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be declared now to all nations, starting here in Jerusalem, but to all nations. This is news for the Jews and for the Gentiles. You, Jesus says, are witnesses of these things. See, Jesus didn't appear to them to reassure them or to confirm the rumors that they were hearing from Simon Peter and from these two from the road. Jesus didn't appear to these particular people because they were special. Jesus appeared to them to send them. You are witnesses, he tells them, to the fulfillment of Scripture. The prophets have told you that someone is going to come to redeem, and I am this one, and it is done. You know me, Jesus said, you know me, you've seen me. But that's not the point. You are my witnesses. You have a story to tell, and that story, my friends, is ours too. It is a story we have to tell. But sometimes I think we like to make excuses. Like, I'm not much of a storyteller. Or I don't really know what I would say. Or I haven't been trained. Haven't been properly trained. Right? I haven't been trained to be a witness. Right? In 2014, Kevin Spacey gave a keynote at Content Marketing World on storytelling. And I think his keynote has a lot to tell us about what it means to be witnesses to this story. He would agree that the most important part of us telling our story is that we spend some time thinking about what the story we have to tell is. What is the story we have to tell? He says it is important to ask yourself, what story do I want to tell? Everything will fall in line if you start with what the result is going to be. And he goes on to propose that there are three pillars to any good story. First, he says every good story has to have conflict. Conflict. Something has to be at stake. A reason that this story needs to be told. Right? Every good story has a reason it needs to live. A reason it needs to be told. Second, every good story needs to be authentic. Spacey says, start small and start with what you know. And answer your audience's questions with internal knowledge, the things that you already know, and be a problem solver for your audience. And third, he says, you have to remember to have an audience. Right? Because telling your story to yourself doesn't really help anything. Okay. He says, don't create content for content's sake. And don't let your content exist in a vacuum. How many times have you written out your faith story? Or been asked to draw a line about the times in your life that you made decisions about your faith? We've all been through some of those times that we have written down moments in our faith life that were important to us. But if we don't share those with an audience, it ends right there, right? He says you need to work for your audience in order for them to work for you. This means creativity and distribution, measurement, and iteration. He says, in today's content ecosystem, you can no longer throw up a blog post and walk away. Kevin Spacey went on to talk about why the show House of Cards was sold to Netflix rather than to a major television network. And I think this has a lot to say about how we tell our story. The reason was that every single major network wanted a pilot episode. And you know what happens in a pilot episode? You gain too much information all at once, right? All of the key components are squeezed into one 45-minute segment. Your marketing efforts, he says, cannot reflect this strategy. Don't try and pack every piece of pertinent information into one conversation because of some obligation to a brand. Start with what you want to say and figure out the most authentic, engaging way you can to deliver that to an audience. Now, that's the most important sentence of what he says. Start with what you want to say and figure out the most authentic, engaging way you can to deliver that to an audience. So if marketers think about how they want to tell their story, and they have some pretty good stories, we have, my friends, the story that changes lives and that changes the world. We need to think about how we tell that story. Jesus says, "You are witnesses of these things." So what can we learn from the secular world about how we tell our story? The first pillar, remember, was conflict. There has to be a reason to tell the story, something at stake. Just telling people that Jesus is risen doesn't make a good story, does it? It's one sentence, "Jesus is risen." You might get them to say back, "Jesus is risen indeed," and then it's over. Easter happens once a year, and then the next year we start again, and we have Easter once again, right? That's not the full story. What difference does it make? Why does it matter to you? What difference has Jesus' teaching and Jesus' way of living made in your life? How does being part of the body of Christ shape how you live your life? How does the church support you? Those are all part of your story. The second pillar is authenticity. Tell your own story. Now, how might you choose what part of your story you're going to tell? Maybe you want to think about a time in your life that you lost track of time. And I don't mean by that you didn't know what time it was. A moment when you were so awake, so aware, so present that you entered a new world. Think about a time in life that seemed so much more real than other moments. A moment when you had never touched or tasted or experienced life like this before. A moment when your heart softened or opened. When you knew somehow you were different. Remember that day when you sensed that something new was about to happen? Was happening to you? Possibilities that you didn't create for yourself were coming. They just opened up. Or maybe after a time of deep grief, there was a moment when you realized that you were okay and you could start to live again. Those are moments when Christ opens our minds to understand. They're moments of awe and wonder that leave us in sacred silence. Those moments that our eyes well up with tears when we weep not from pain or sorrow, but the water of new life. Those are moments in which we say, "I never want this to end. I want it to be just like this. I don't want to leave this place." Those moments are resurrected life. Those are moments when the resurrected Christ is calling on you to recognize that he is right there present with you. Those are the moments to share. They are your moments. They are authentic. And the third pillar to good storytelling is having an audience. Who are you called to be a witness to? You don't need to tell the whole Bible story in one sitting. You don't even have to know the whole Bible. You don't need to pack every piece of pertinent information into one conversation. But you are called to be a witness. Every day, every person who comes in contact with you comes to know your story. As you live a life that is shaped by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. This is your story. You are a witness. Thanks be to God. Amen.